Archbishop Patrick Kelly, you're going to be hosting, in a sense, this interfaith meeting. Can you tell us, first of all, how significant is this interfaith meeting on the papal itinerary? It seems almost to be taking place on the sidelines of the encounter at St Mary's with thousands of Catholic students and teachers.
I think we probably understand it more deeply if we remember how the rest of the day will be spent. From this particular meeting, the Holy Father will be devoting himself to the questions to arise on the ecumenical journey, the journey with our fellow disciples in Christ, and visiting this question in a very specific context of these islands. I always think it's interesting how Pope Paul VI referred to England as a terreno ecumenico. Because of our history, sometimes a conflictual history, we have a special story and special challenges and opportunities. And it seems to me that this meeting which we're having at Strawberry Hill, the focus there again is very specific to this country. We have a very complex history in relation to many other countries in the world, to their cultures, to their religion, their faith. And therefore it seems to me very appropriate indeed that as part of the Holy Father's visit, there will be this opportunity for people of faith, of religion, to come together, to have some time sharing, and then to receive the guidance and encouragement of the Holy Father as we seek in our accountability, the ultimate accountability in our life, to be servants of civil society in all its forms.
Tell us something about the representation at the interfaith meeting. There are 9, I believe, aren't the main faith groups that will be there?
Indeed, yes. And we've tried to reflect in what is happening, the way in which these issues are dealt with at all sorts of levels in society today. We have, for example, in the northwest of England, a very, well, unique at the moment appointment. One of our priests, as it happens, Monsignor John Devine, is understood as the person who speaks for all the faiths in matters to do with the northwest regional development. And this has proved highly significant. And again, it's with the same group that he works. And the concern there has been as to show how people of faith are found everywhere in society and particularly strongly present wherever the need is greatest. So those who gather in Twickenham with the Holy Father, it reflects what's happening locally as well.
So there will be representatives, obviously, of the Jewish, Muslim, Buddhist, Hindu communities, others as well.
Indeed. And we try, in the way we've planned it, to make sure that there is a fitting dialogue with all those involved. And I think it has deep significance that the first speech will be given by the Chief Rabbi, Lord Jonathan Sacks. It is very interesting, of course, as you know, the situation in Rome, how there is a specificity about our relationship with those of the Jewish faith. Cardinal Casper visited our diocese not long ago, and he underlined the significance of the fact that the Council for Dialogue with the Jewish faith is in the same area of the Vatican's concern as the ecumenical. And then we have that separate Pontifical Council for Interreligious Dialogue. Again, we're seeking to respect all of those sensitivities in our gathering next week.
There are those who see real interfaith engagement as somehow less of a priority under this pontificate than under that of John Paul II. Is this a concern that you hear at all among faith leaders in the UK?
No, I've not heard that voiced. And in fact, curiously, it's interesting, and it may be a sign of this work continuing. When I took part in the Synod on the Word of God a couple of years ago now in Rome, the slot I had as my personal contribution was about the question of the Word of God and interreligious dialogue. And it may be significant that very soon after that I was appointed a member of the Pontifical Council for Interreligious Dialogue. And it seemed to me there was an affirmation that having indicated that interreligious dialogue arises from our commitment to the Word of God, that appointment should be made. So I think there was one sign, at least, of the Holy Father's affirmation of this aspect of the life of our Lord's disciples today.
You talked about a very complex, very particular situation there in the UK regarding interfaith relations. If you had to, in somehow, put that in a nutshell, how would you describe the situation there today?
Well, I think the situation today is inseparable from our history. And we've always got to keep in mind, and there are, I suppose, three very significant stages. One stage is the all horrendous story which touched the city of Liverpool so profoundly, the slave trade. That had all sorts of ramifications. And then when you move on into the whole challenge and the history of empire and new relationship with new peoples, and then Commonwealth, and then related immigration, all of those things have given a very specific aspect to the relationship between cultures, races, faith, religion in our particular country. And it's inseparable from our long history.
There's certainly a lot of concern about immigration at the moment, particular flashpoints, of course, in France, but it's never far away from the surface there in Britain either, is it?
It is a sensitive one, and yet it doesn't seem to have quite the fire which seems to be happening elsewhere. I hope I'm not deluding myself, because these things can so quickly become so very, very painful and dangerous. I've not felt it that sharply recently here. I think in many ways because one of the effects of the huge turmoil in the world of economy and trade, and many people have emigrated from this country in recent months, and it's a rapidly changing situation.
What kind of reception do you think Pope Benedict will receive from the Muslim community in Britain, and which Muslim groups will be present at this interfaith meeting?
We have done again our best to ensure that that we have respected the self-understanding of all those involved, and they have decided who shall represent them and in what sense they shall represent them, because that in itself is a highly sensitive matter. Indeed, that's a sensitive matter indeed in dialogue between the churches. We often presume we use the word leader in the same sense across the churches, which we don't, and those are part of the sensitives we've tried to respect. I think we're satisfied that we have offered the space for those who want to take part in such a conversation, such a meeting. And certainly the feelings I have from the small Muslim community here in Liverpool, and the warmth with which I'm always welcomed and which we welcome them, I think there are some firm bases on which to expect a very positive meeting.
What about reactions to the recent Bishop's document on interfaith relations, Meeting God in Friend and Stranger? How has that document been received there amongst the other groups?
As far as I can tell, very positively, and it's been warmly welcomed. I think one area which we're very conscious we need to develop much more strongly is precisely that of service to others together. And it may be, of course, that we are facing a situation where cooperation right across the board in terms of the voluntary agencies is going to be highly significant in the country. It will not be long after the Holy Father leaves our country. We'll be hearing what are the decisions as regards cutbacks in public spending. We have a very significant social arm here in the diocese named after a great priest, Father James Nugent. And because of that, I'm also involved in a group called the 800 Group. I have 800 years between them of service to those in need. We are massively aware that the demands for the help of the voluntary sector is going to be greater, but what we're very clear about is it's a double help. We need both to assist those in need, but also to be advocates. That's a double task, and I think that will grow in coming months.
Is that very much the way forward, do you think, in Britain, is interfaith cooperation rather than specific dialogue over theological issues?
I'm sure it is a very good place to begin. And the way I put it is, if, for example, two people, let us say a Christian and a Muslim, have been working together, let's say somewhere in Pakistan, in helping what to build a school or to provide food, and they've looked each other in the eye a few times as they lift a sack, that sort of look in the eye enables conversations to occur. And therefore it seems to me that if you work together seriously, that is one of the sure ways to open up the possibility of ever more serious, ever more searching conversation. And therefore, I think it's almost impossible to work with others for the benefit of somebody else and simply remain cut off from the person with whom you're working and cooperating.
In your own diocese there of Liverpool, how are people preparing to mark this visit by Pope Benedict? Because it's true to say that Pope John Paul's visit to Liverpool was perhaps one of the highlights, wasn't it, of the 1982 trip?
It was. Those days I wasn't here. I was in Birmingham then. I was at Coventry Airport. So I saw Liverpool from a distance. I think, first of all, it is such a different situation. the way I put it is that on that occasion, people in Liverpool simply had to step out of their own front door and within, 20 minutes walking could be on a site where they'd see the Holy Father. The new changed situation in the world has made a great difference in terms of security. So it's a very different context. But what I do find is there's enormous spiritual depth about this visit. And I suppose one of the reasons is that we are blessed to have here in our midst the shrine of Blessed Dominic Barbary. Blessed Dominic Barbary was God's instrument in finally welcoming John Henry Newman into full communion with the Roman Catholic Church. And the morning of the beatification at his shrine, the parish have decided they've moved their Sunday celebrations to be the one celebration at the same time as the Mass of Beatification. And I was very moved when, only 3 days after the Holy Father confirmed he'd come to this country, at his general audience 3 days later, he spoke of Dominic Barbary. So I'm fairly confident the diocese, which can claim very much at its heart Dominic Barbary, we will be preparing very well indeed and supporting the whole event with tremendous depth of prayer.
What are your expectations, if you like, at the ecumenical level? You mentioned at the beginning, again, a particular situation there in Britain.
Yeah, I think, again, it has all sorts of aspects of the present time. We're all very aware, and I think one of the signs of the journey we've travelled is that we're much more conscious that the joys and sorrows of each community in the Christian world, that we share our joys and sorrows. We are very deeply aware and we listen and we have deep sharing about the very challenging questions the Church of England is facing. And I think for that commitment to, again, still pressing on and saying we cannot run away from what the Holy Spirit said to the Church in the Second Vatican Council, we have to walk the ecumenical way. To have that reaffirmed is going to be massively important. And it'll be very hard to really take to heart the significance of when the Archbishop of Canterbury and the Holy Father pray together in Westminster Abbey at the tomb of St. Edward the Confessor. That will be a highly significant moment.